Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide private adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, but it is truly our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community. So we are very grateful that you're listening in today to our program. We've made it to December, and we've got some snow on the ground here in Michigan, and we are thrilled for that. And Christmas is around the corner, and this is our last live broadcast for 2017. We will have one or two shows that will continue to run into the until we get to the new year. So today is super exciting for me because it's a topic that we need to give some attention to, and we're talking about the path to parenthood through adoption. And at this time of year, it's not uncommon for people to consider their family constellation and maybe what their hopes and dreams are for the future for their family. And so we are going to be speaking to a mom by adoption who's going to talk about the experiences that she and her husband had, some of their fears and misconceptions as well. So I'd like to go ahead and welcome to the show today, Teresa. Teresa, I think you're online with us already.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate you being with us this morning and coming and sharing, you know, a little bit about your story, which is personal. And I wanted to see if we could just go ahead right off the bat and have you start by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My husband and I met when we were very young, and we knew before we were married that we would not be able to have biological children. So adoption is something that was always a part of our life. It just was a matter of when and how that would actually come to fruition. So we waited quite a while. We were, like I said, we were very young when we got married. So we had a lot of planning to do in terms of saving some money and just making sure that we were ready for a family before we jumped in. And so after about 8-9 years of being married, we decided it was really time to start pursuing this.
Okay.
We looked into a lot of different options. I think when we started talking about adoption, it's such a general term that I don't think we really had a good understanding of what exactly all of the different facets of adoption were.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, we did meet with a large adoption agency, and we went to a lot of informational classes just to learn about the different programs they had and what might be the best fit for us. And that was kind of how we started getting that ball rolling.
Okay, so when it came time for you and your husband to move forward, you needed to choose a program, which all couples have to make a decision about, and you decided on international. Can you talk a little bit about that decision, how you came to that decision, and maybe some of the reasons why?
Yeah. Like I said, we went to a lot of meetings, and we heard a lot of different stories about international adoption and domestic adoption. We were very nervous about an open adoption. So I think without doing enough research, maybe we kind of jumped into international, you know, in order to be able to adopt but not have an open adoption relationship. And there were other reasons why we liked the international adoption too, but that was probably the biggest concern we had about adopting, and so we decided to go the international route. And that's a very, very long process. You know, there's a lot more paperwork, and it just seems like it took a long time for us to get ready and prepared before we could actually be waiting for that international adoption.
Okay. So you mentioned openness. That was a fear, and it sounds like, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, one of the main decisions that you selected international instead of domestic, because as many people know, the concept of openness is a big part of a domestic adoption, and even though there are varying degrees of that. So talk a little bit, if you can, Teresa, about that, the fear of openness, and kind of where you were coming from.
Yeah, I think I mean, I think for the most part, it was a misconception. And in hindsight, I think some of the things that we were afraid of are just normal adoption things that don't seem normal at the time. You know, I remember watching a video of an adoptive family with a birth mom, and they were all at the playground together. And in my mind, I was thinking, this is going to be a person that's always going to be in our house, everywhere we go. You know, I just felt like this is ridiculous, but I just felt like she's always going to be there, and it's going to be so confusing for us and for the child. You know, who's the right family? You know, am I the mom or is she the mom? So I think in our minds we kind of put something together that was very irrational, but that was what we were thinking, and it made us really nervous.
Right, and I think really it sounds like what you're referring to is co-parenting.
Right.
And that's the concept of co-parenting and the concept of openness often are interchanged in people's minds, although practically speaking, they are not. So I think that, you know, your fear is certainly not one that's unheard of, Teresa. And I know that maybe someone's listening right now that has a similar fear, these concerns about openness. And so I know that we'll talk about this some more in a minute, that you guys came to learn that openness is not exactly what you first thought that it was. But, you know, that's common. And so I do think it's important that we talk about it today and about some of the fears. And birth moms oftentimes have fears about what openness means as well. So we will certainly get into that. But let's talk about kind of what happened after you made this decision to pursue an international adoption, then something changed for you,
yeah.
And then you guys switched. So what happened? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So we were waiting for an international adoption for about 2 years, and then we got the news that the country we were adopting from was no longer doing international adoption. So that kind of cut that tie. We were no longer able to pursue that country. And like I mentioned before, it's a very intense process. So we had to determine what we were going to do. Would we look for another country to adopt from, or did we need to just take a different path? And we did. We looked into a lot of different countries to see what we would possibly be able to do. But at that point, we decided that was no longer something that we would consider. So then we moved back to looking at domestic adoptions.
Okay. And so you guys, I'm a little confused too about that part. You were changing agencies in the middle of all of that too. So you were switching from international to domestic and from one agency to another. So how did all of this come to be? What was going on?
Yeah. So, you know, when we originally looked into adoption, the decision between domestic and international, as I mentioned before, it was very much based on our interpretation of an open adoption. So when it came time to look at another program and look at domestic adoption, when we met with our original agency, the openness, it was a misconception on our part, but it was also very much pushed on us as something we really needed to do. You have to be very open. I mean, I think it was almost even to the point where, you know, you have to be ready to let someone come into your home. And these are all things that we felt like maybe eventually once we developed a relationship, that was something we could get to, but we just weren't comfortable agreeing to that kind of an open relationship off the bat, not knowing who that birth mother might be or how that relationship might grow as we moved along this process. So we really felt like that was just not something that we were interested in doing. And we didn't have the relationship with the agency that we would have liked to have had. Mm-hmm. Some of the communication that we received was via email. You know, very important issues that affected us were sent via email instead of a phone call or, you know, somebody reaching out to us. So we just didn't have confidence that that entire process was going to go smoothly and that we would be taken care of and everybody would be taken care of, really, as the process continued. So that was kind of when we decided we needed to change plans and come up with a different solution. We mm-hmm. had some friends that had adopted from adoption associates, and they all had very good things to say about their situation and how things were handled. So that was kind of how we got in the door with adoption associates, because after we left the agency, it was basically the one and only we had heard of, and we were kind of at a loss of where to go next. Mm-hmm. So they gave us a referral, and we came in and met with adoption associates at that point.
Okay. So I think, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that and talk about that because, you know, it's different for everybody. Fit and feeling comfortable with the agency and the caseworker and feeling like you can have dialogue and a one-on-one relationship. This is a trust situation when you come to building your family. So thing to hear that, you know, you guys maybe had a little bit of concern or some reservations and then you did actually act upon that. I know that some people are kind of leery to do that. Were you feeling nervous about making a change in agency?
No, I think we were because we were at the point where we felt like this is such a huge part of our life or it's going to be such a huge part of our life that we can't jump forward with this without knowing that we're working with people that we feel like are trusted advisors for us. You know, we just kind of felt like the other agency was very much looking out for the birth moms, but we kind of felt neglected. And not that we needed to be the most important person in the situation, but we did feel like our concerns needed to be heard and addressed and mm-hmm. that we needed, like you mentioned, a relationship. We needed a relationship. So mm-hmm. we did go to a point where we couldn't go to continue the way we were, and we had to mm-hmm. make that change. So I don't think I was extremely nervous about making the change. It was stressful for sure. I mean, there's no question about that because this is something we've been waiting for a long time, and you know you're starting over. So that was difficult, but I would say I wasn't necessarily nervous to start with a new agency.
Okay. So we're going to fast forward a little bit here into your actual adoption story. You and your husband are now parents to two wonderful little girls. How old are they, Teresa?
Our daughter Leah is 3.5, and our youngest Harper is 4 months.
Wow. So you guys have a busy household right now for sure.
We do. We definitely do.
And no two adoptions are alike. Everyone knows that. And you are experienced personally with seeing two separate adoptions. And I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit, about, you know, coming back a second time and how that was different and maybe it wasn't, or what the expectations were that you had coming in and then how that kind of panned out.
Okay. Yeah. I would say we didn't really have a lot of expectations coming in because we knew every situation was going to be so different, but it turned out that our two adoptions were different in almost every way. We met Leah's birth mom when she was about 20 weeks pregnant, to know her for quite a while before Leah was born. Harper's birth mom, we met about a week and a half before Harper was born. So that was a very quick turnaround. We had, you know, obviously since we knew Leah's birth mom longer, we had longer to build a relationship. So, you know, the day you go to the hospital is always a stressful day, but it was just different because we had all the details ironed out with Leah that we just didn't have time to iron out with Harper's birth mom. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the actual hospital experience too, it was very different. We were in different cities for both girls and the hospitals were very different. For Leah, we were in the nursery with her. We had a small area that we could sit in with her, but there was really no privacy. Mm-hmm. And then we would just be there during the day and have to go to a hotel at night. With Harper, they actually gave us a room in the hospital to stay in with her. So, you know, we could have her with us the entire time until she was discharged. So, mm-hmm. You know, there were just so many things that were different from one to the other. That, mm-hmm. you know, you know going in that it could be different, but I was, I guess, a little bit even surprised how different they really ended up being.
Yeah, absolutely. You, from the time that you met the birth mother till delivery was different for both. And then even when we talk about your post-adoption relationship with them, do you want to touch on that a little bit? You came into this saying that openness was something that you were really nervous about. And then you guys did some education and kind of came forward with that idea. In terms of comparing and contrasting your two adoptions and this concept of openness, how did that play out for you?
Yeah. With both birth moms, we pictures on a regular basis. Leah's birth mom, she had told us ahead of time, you know, even though we really got to know her before Leah was born, she had told us she didn't think she was going to be wanting much contact after Leah's birth, and that turned out to be true. So we have limited contact with her. I have her contact information, but we don't hear from her a real lot. Harper's birth mom, on the other hand, we do hear from quite regularly, and, you know, we reach out to each other quite regularly. So, yes, that's very different. And in hindsight, you know, I think about that video that we saw that made me so nervous. That wouldn't make me nervous at all anymore if that was my real-life situation. You know, it's just something that before your experience in it, it just seems so abnormal. But once you really get to know these birth moms, they're just normal people living a normal life. And just like us, they, you know, they're just normal people. So it's really nothing to be worried about. But until you're in that situation, you feel like you should be. I don't even know how to explain it. But looking back, it was the most ridiculous concern that I had. But it was very, very real.
Sure. And the underlying fear for many families is the fear that the birth mother is going to take the baby back, that openness would afford her the opportunity to do so. And that is a true fear for many families. And, you know, you've come to see in your two adoptions that the birth mothers chose adoption. You know, if it was their desire to parent or ability to parent, then they just wouldn't have chosen adoption. But they did.
Right.
So, I think it's really interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think too, before we were experienced, it just seemed more like a transaction than a real life event. You know, having gone through this process, we understand now that Adoption Associates provides a lot of support both to us when we need it and to the birth parents when they need it. So it's in everyone's best interest to make sure that this child is taken care of the best way possible and that all parts really are taken care of. So there's a support system in place to make sure that, you know, it's not going to prevent, I'm not saying that's a prevention measure. It is, I guess, a measure in a way. It's not going to necessarily stop that, but there are things in place to help those birth parents moving forward as well.
Absolutely. I appreciate you saying that too. One of the great things about having adoptive moms and dads such as yourself, Teresa, come on the podcast to talk about their experiences is that they have the benefit of hindsight now. I mean, you've already said to several of the things we've discussed that how you felt then is so different than how you feel now that you have this experience. So I was hoping we could use this hindsight to our benefit today too, if you don't mind. Looking back, what were some of the things that you had doubts and fears about at that time? You know, I know we talked about the openness too, but yeah, what that has really come to look like in your life versus what it was in your mind at that time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I remember, you know, one of the couples that we met with had told us, and this turned out to be very true. In the beginning, before your adoption, you feel like openness is such a huge issue and such a huge component of your life, when in reality, it doesn't end up being that, you know, that big of an issue. So I think in hindsight now we know adoption is a facet of who our girls are, and the openness is too, but it's a characteristic. It's not an all-encompassing thing we deal with every minute of every day of our lives. You know, there's different, you know, I like to say Leah has blue eyes and blonde hair and she's spunky and she's adopted. You know, all those things can be important at different points in time, but none of them are all-consuming, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Very well said. What misconceptions do you think you may have had in the beginning that you see differently? Now,
I think we probably talked mostly about those, but I think the biggest ones were, you know, you mentioned co-parenting, you know, who really is the real parent here? I feel like that was something we worried about, and, you know, it's just not the reality. You're every day working with your kids, teaching your kids things. You're the ones that are experiencing all these exciting new things that they're learning. That's not ever been a question in my mind since our girls were born. And that, you know, it was a real fear, but it was unfounded. And I think, like I just mentioned before, I felt like adoption would kind of overtake our lives and be something almost like an issue that we have to deal with every day. And it's not, it's just a component of who we are.
Right. And, you know, the purpose of the home study preparation that families go through is to prepare them for all these different scenarios. And so we hear from families a lot that say, wow, you know, you made us really feel really scared about these things. And we thought this was going to be all encompassing, as you say, Teresa. But, you know, that is the job of the agency, is to prepare you. And we do that, you know, over a period of 90 days in most cases. So it can seem much bigger than it is, because we need to put such great emphasis on some of these issues and while we're, you know, preparing families and such. But let's, if you don't mind, will you touch, Teresa, on the experience of meeting the birth mother? I know a lot of people have questions about that, what that was like, and, you know, for you, and, you know, obviously people want to know, how bad was it? Were you nervous? Was it awkward? What happened?
Yeah, it was very, we were very nervous. Both times we were very nervous. You know, it's, you just feel like there's so much pressure on you to make a good impression. But when we met Leah's birth mom, well, there was always a caseworker with us with both meetings. But when we met Leah's mom, it was a very instant connection. I felt like we just kind of started talking right off the bat. She also had other children that she brought with her, so there was kind of a distraction. So if there wasn't communication happening all the time, it wasn't really awkward at all. And our meeting with her went very quickly. So yeah, we were very nervous, but you know, we kind of just walked in and gave her a hug and started talking, and we had some dinner, and it just kind of flowed. And afterwards she said to us too, like, oh, that went so much better than I thought it would. I was so nervous. And that thought just never occurred to me that she would be nervous too. I don't know why, but it didn't. You know, we were very nervous, but I felt like, well, this is all your decision. You know, you have nothing to be nervous about, because we're the ones that we're on the spot here. But she was too. So, you know, in hindsight, that would have probably made me feel a little bit better if I had known. And then with Harper's birth mom, the situation was so different because it all happened so quickly too. But she was much more quiet, and it was a little bit more of a challenge. So, you know, the conversation didn't just flow as much as it did with Leah's birth mom, but, you know, there's obviously a caseworker there with you to help you keep that conversation going and moving and ask questions and to think of things that would be important for both parties to know that we might not be thinking of asking. So, you know, it was a little bit, it was different, but it was good. And the same thing afterwards, you know, both of us were very happy that we had done it and that we had met and we knew each other before Harper was born.
Right. Right. And that, there was a small window there between when you met Harper's birth mom and when, so that's part of the equation for that one too. What advice do you have for other prospective adoptive parents, Teresa? What do you wish that you had known back in the very beginning, when you were weighing out domestic versus international, when you were trying to select a good fit for an agency and all of the angst that comes with that? What do you wish you had known, or maybe what you wish someone else would have said to you back in those early days?
Yeah, I think what I know now that I wish I would have known then was to just trust my instincts. I think that when we, you know, like I said, we met with this one agency thinking that was really the only option. So we kind of pushed forward even though we weren't necessarily completely comfortable. And we went to international adoption, which I think we never quite were 100% confident. We always questioned ourselves about that. So I think we just, you know, and it ended up that door was slammed in our face and we had to make a different decision, but maybe it didn't need to go that way if we had really took more time to do more research and talk to more people. So trust your instincts. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And this will be an important factor of your life for the rest of your life. So having those relationships developed with people that you're comfortable working with is just very important. And then kind of along those lines, I would say be true to yourself. You know, if you're not comfortable with something, you have to make a lot of decisions when you're adopting about who your child will be. And at the time, it seemed somewhat transactional, but you have to make the decisions that are right for you. You know, we had to somewhat limit our scope because I was working full time at the time. I knew I couldn't care for a child that had a lot of special needs, or it wouldn't be in that child's best interest to do that. So, you know, we had to put some restrictions in place. We have a community that's not diverse at all. I knew that would be very challenging for a child. So you just have to think about those things and make the decision that you know is right for that child, even if maybe you're hearing from other people or you feel like, well, I don't think I should have to limit my decision to this because it might take me longer to wait, or, you know, just think about all of those factors and how it would affect both you and especially the child going forward to do the right thing. And I guess the only other thing I would say is try to find some other adoptive couples that have been through this that can give you some real advice. I think that was the most reassuring to us, was talking to other couples that had been through it that we knew from, and really ask the questions that you feel sometimes uncomfortable asking because you feel like maybe it's a question that I should know the answer to, or why am I even thinking this? This doesn't seem like something I should be worrying about. But if it's a real fear for you, it's something that's legitimate, and you should just ask those questions and find someone you're comfortable talking to.
Fantastic, Teresa. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you and your candid answers to some, you know, pretty personal questions. And more importantly, you're a mom now through adoption, and that is super exciting with two beautiful little girls.
Yeah, thank you.
We, for those of you that are listening, we will be posting a recap about today's podcast along with a photo that Teresa has provided of her daughters. And we celebrate your family. And again, Teresa, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For those of you listening that might be interested in connecting with Adoption Associates, we would be happy to hear from you at 800-677-2367, or you can visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to take a brief break here for the wonderful season of Christmas. We will have live podcast programming starting back on January the 2nd, and we are very thrilled with the amount of support that Adoption Focus Podcast has received, and encourage you to continue to listen, learn, and grow in adoption with Adoption Focus. For now, this is Jennifer. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.